Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. Our guest this week is House Ag Committee Chair Glenn Thompson, who joins us to discuss the skinny farm bill and his thoughts on using tariff revenue to fund fall farm aid payments. But first, here's this week's headlines. The Agriculture Department has extended the USDA reorganization comment period from August 26th to September 30th. The planned closure of a major research center in suburban Maryland and the department's plan to consolidate staff in five regional hubs are also drawing some opposition. USDA isn't posting the comments it has received, but farm groups and USDA stakeholders are raising concerns about the impact the plan will have on agencies and personnel. For example, the American Farm Bureau Federation supports creating five regional hubs, but is also concerned about maintaining the ability to meet with USDA leadership. The National Council of Farmer Cooperatives wants to ensure there are enough county and regional staff to efficiently serve producers. The Environmental Protection Agency canceled a Biden-era plan to reduce wastewater discharges from meat and poultry processing plants. During the announcement, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin cited impacts of facility closures to the nation's meat supply and attendant job losses as reasons for retaining the regulatory status quo. EPA's January 2024 proposal estimated that 16 facilities would close if EPA adopted the preferred alternative in its proposal. In the final action document, EPA said the closure or reduced capacity facilities could have significant impacts on the nation's food supply and pricing. The Agriculture Department is lowering its forecast for farm earnings in 2025 as declines in the crop sector more than offset soaring incomes for cattle producers. Net cash farm income, a measure of producers' cash flow, is forecast at $180.7 billion in 2025. That marks an increase of over $36 billion, or about 25% over last year when adjusted for inflation, according to the forecast issued by the USDA Economic Research Service. Even with the lower numbers, both the net farm income and net cash farm income estimates are above the 20-year average, primarily due to an influx in government payments to row crop producers. USDA estimates that direct government payments to producers will surpass $40 billion this year, marking a $30 billion increase from 2024 and the largest amount since the pandemic year of 2020. USDA says farm income will increase this year, but mostly because of government payments and strong income in the livestock industry. We asked House Ag Committee Chair Glenn Thompson his thoughts on the report and the farm economy right now.
Well, I mean, it's to be expected. The income is up. I think the part that compounds that is basically the actual commodity prices have been down. And that's the issue we need to address. We need to address that by expanding markets and also addressing the input costs. You know, at the end of the day, it's not so important what your revenue is what your net is. It's the margin that is so important. So I wasn't surprised by that report. It was really interesting. They also, released the trade data for the past fiscal year, and we had a pretty tough first half of the fiscal year was really pretty tough coming out of October 1st in the last quarter of the Biden administration and then the whole transition time with Trump. It was interesting. I mean, trade was up by 8 million metric pounds, and which is good, but revenue was essentially flat. And part of that is the actual, it's the input costs, it's the headwinds that farmers are facing. So I think that's good information, that's great data, and really to have us focus, use that part of a root cause analysis to kind of inform now what do we need to do. And I know the next step that we need to do is Farm Bill 2.0, but it's also labor. It's continue to work cooperatively with the administration on trade.
I'm curious, we spoke earlier this week and you said that farm aid will be necessary this fall with the predicted record yields and the uncertainty around tariffs and trade. I'm curious, do you think that the farm income forecast, lays a financial picture for you to advocate for those payments?
Yeah, I think it does. I was honestly last December I was singing a different tune. I was really hoping that what we did, that $10 billion in economic harm, would have been sufficient. I wasn't going to fill in all the gaps, and we knew that. And I think that between that the natural disaster assistance, everything that we've done, really, from what I can tell based on the data, about a third of the losses is what is covered. So I think there's more that we need to do. Food security is national security, and so I'll be advocating for investment. A significant amount of money in tariffs that have been collected. I'm advocating that just a fraction of that money would be used to invest in our farmers to keep them financially stable going forward. And I think we need to be creative how we do that. I appreciate the trade process negotiations the president's using and Jameson Greer that is leading. But I would say, where are we at? Over at least $100 billion in tariff money. So, a fraction that's been collected, that a fraction of that would be a great investment actually in Farm Bill 2.0.
Yeah, and that's kind of a unique perspective maybe to use that tariff money. I mean, in the past, during the trade war during the first Trump administration, the Commodity Credit Corporation was used. So, I mean, do you kind of have a vision? You mentioned incorporating those payments into the Farm Bill 2.0, but a vision of how it will work to utilize that tariff revenue.
Yeah, and just a fraction of them. I think that's just a better way versus using the Commodity Credit Corporation, which is what we've done in the past. And I stated early on that, if this was needed, I mean, well over a year ago, I had made this statement. The beginning of after the election, predicting that agriculture trade will once again be something an administration would be working on. That we may face a situation like we did under Trump 45, and we would be prepared to with the CCC to make sure it's replenished in a way. But I think there are some other alternatives. Why wouldn't we keep the CCC? The integrity of it the way it is now, so they could do what it was originally designed for.
We'll be back with more Newsmakers right after this.
Farm Credit supports rural communities and agriculture with reliable, consistent credit and financial services in good times and bad. We provide loans to farmers and ranchers, farmer-owned cooperatives, rural homebuyers, agribusinesses, and rural infrastructure providers. As cooperatives, we're locally owned and governed. We help agricultural producers feed the world. For America's farmers, Farm Credit, supporting rural communities and agriculture. Learn more today.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
Welcome back. House Ag Committee Chair Glenn Thompson is still working on passing a Farm Bill 2.0 this year. We asked him if he's still eyeing September committee action on the bill and what he'd like to see included.
The framework is pretty easy to start with. It's taking the Farm Food and National Security Act of 2024, and all we need to do is take out all the things that we put into law with the Farm Bill 1.0, that 80% of the Farm Bill, largest investment in the ag safety net since 2002. And whatever remains will be at the core of Farm Bill 2.0. We need to take a fresh look at it. We have new members on the committee. We've been working hard with the Republican side to get their ideas, their requests, and seeing how we can maybe incorporate those into it. We've already been doing that. I put a request in to the ranking member, Angie Craig. She's a good friend. She has told me that she has received the priorities for the Democratic members. And we had a discussion last night on the floor, and I requested we get those in the next 10 days. So we have 2 weeks so we can get those incorporated, because I think there are a lot of good programs that need to be reauthorized. Now, we're not under a real time crunch at this point. I know technically the Farm Bill portions that weren't reauthorized on July 4th, technically they expire on October 1st. But functionally, they're all funded right through the end of the calendar year. So we have time, but I think for, giving our, providing our farmers with the certainty that they need and let's just call it the hope that they require too, the sooner that we can get 2.0 done and across the finish line, the better.
And I'm curious, some of the controversial, I'd say more controversial provisions that you're considering within that, a legislative solution for Proposition 12, concerns about industrial hemp, lawsuits against pesticide manufacturers. I mean, if you want to maybe break down those three at least and how you see those.
No, Lydia, you're spot on. They're the ones we have the, and we saw that for the most part, although it wasn't when we did the Farm Bill last time out of committee, last Congress, I was surprised that it didn't get a tremendous amount of discussion. So fully anticipate the Save the Bacon provision will be in Farm Bill 2.0. The Supreme Court has made it very clear that it's not something they were going to fix, that there may be an issue with interstate commerce, one state dictating agricultural practices to other states. But it was, the justices, a number of the opinions clearly stated that's Congress's job and we should do our job. So we are. The pesticide labeling, I really believe that we need to be working with the EPA in terms of labeling for pesticide. And that if we open this up to 50 different states knowing pesticide labeling, we're going to see people get hurt because of the confusion, the lack of continuity in terms of education practices, the training requirements, the application guidelines. The EPA has a massive amount of scientists, most of them funded actually by the industry. So it's a great public-private partnership. And so I really believe that needs to be addressed within the Farm Bill. And then we'll have the hemp discussions. I think the Agriculture Committee's intent in 2018 was to address industrial hemp, food and fiber. But the way the language was, it left some, unfortunately, wasn't tight enough a definition. So there's been a lot of businesses have been created that use the hemp when it's hot, when it has an addictive quality. That was never the intent of the Agriculture Committee. Like the last Farm Bill, I will manage that process in committee, and we'll let the committee work its will on that. And whether that's one way or the other, or some compromise in the middle, that's yet to be seen.
And still looking at a price tag of about $8 billion over 10 years.
Yeah, I think it may be a little higher, especially if we're going to incorporate some investments into to deal with some of the economic issues that our farmers are dealing with.
How high do you think that could be?
I'm not sure at this point. I would think that an investment of, was really pleased with what we got for $10 billion. Pretty impressive support for agriculture. Dealt with about a third of the losses, though. And so if we can do an investment 2.0 to stimulate economic growth, so we'll say with the Farm Bill, eight to $10 billion investments, and then maybe another, it would be wonderful to be able to replicate what we did in December.
We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, Andrew Hunneke looks at USDA's most recent farm income forecast in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
USDA is lowering its forecast for farm earnings this year because declines in the crop sector are offsetting rising incomes for cattle producers. This chart shows net farm income and net cash farm income adjusted for inflation from 2004 to the forecasted totals for 2025. Net cash farm income is the green line. It's a measure of farmers' cash flow. It's projected at just under $181 billion in 2025, an increase of more than $36.5 billion from last year. Net farm income is the blue line. It's a broader measure of profits. It's forecast at just under $180 billion in 2025, which would represent a gain of nearly $49 billion from last year. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Hunneke.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down. And without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep Trial Lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Clean Fuels Alliance America is leading the way toward cleaner air, stronger local economies, and reduced dependence on fossil fuels. The industry uses more than 1 billion pounds of soybean oil every month to produce clean fuels. Biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel deliver immediate reductions in greenhouse gas emissions in heavy-duty transportation industries. We're growing better, cleaner fuels for today and tomorrow.
Welcome back. The farm income forecast released this week shows higher farm income than last year, but there's still a lot of uncertainty in farm country with predicted record yields and trade uncertainty. We're joined on our panel today by Callie Eideberg with the Vogel Group and Tom Sell with Combest, Sell & Associates. Callie, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts after reviewing the farm income forecast?
Well, it's not a good time right now. Farmers are looking, and the entire ag economy is really facing an economic headwind. Congress has taken steps this summer to try to alleviate some of that pain, but the payments and the increased reference prices that we saw pass in the Big Beautiful Bill this summer are not going to go into effect until 2026. And so farmers who need immediate relief now are not finding that. If we can get some export markets opened, if we can potentially open up some new avenue for federal resources, then we could see some alleviation. But it is just a really challenging time out there.
House Ag Committee Chair G.T. Thompson has said that he'd like to see farm aid payments funded through tariff revenue this fall, potentially through that Farm Bill 2.0 he's looking to pass. You know, I'm curious, Callie, do you think securing these payments for farmers later this year is realistic? And how do you think they could be funded?
Well, the tariff payments is really interesting. The legality of that, I think, is a little up in the air, but I know Chairman Thompson is really focused on helping out farmers across the country. And so figuring out those complicated legal issues, if it's possible, I think he and his team can make it happen. However, you know, we did see a court rule just earlier this week, or I'm sorry, the end of last week, that the tariffs in the first place potentially are not legal. And so it's something that the chairman and his team would have to be mindful of. Is that money going to actually be available, or will it be subject to the litigation that is outside of the committee and the chairman's control?
Tom, I want to bring you into the conversation as well. I mean, your thoughts on those payments and what the chairman's proposed. It's really interesting to see his thoughts on using tariff revenue to fund those after the Commodity Credit Corporation was used to make similar payments during the first Trump administration.
Yeah, there is a real need, as Callie was saying. I mean, it's kind of a best of times, worst of times going on in rural America right now. We passed this unprecedented, incredible provision to support the Title I Farm Safety Net, crop insurance, conservation funds that are available, trade aid funds. I mean, the investments made in the Big Beautiful Bill are enormous and fantastic for the future of ag policy. They don't, just as Callie identified, they don't kick in for really until bulk of them until October of 2026, so more than a year away. And so we have this kind of funding hole right now. There needs to be some very intentional plans made. One, to get some commodities cleared out. I think we need to revamp and re-up our food aid programs to get some of these commodities moving. That will take a little bit of pressure off. And then this idea of additional assistance, both to the infrastructure, to support the infrastructure, and to the growers.
We'll be back with more of our panel discussion right after this.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
Hey Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back. Congress is racing the clock against a government shutdown this month. With everything on the docket and limited in-session days, we asked Callie Eidenberg if she thinks the House Ag Committee will be able to take committee action on Farm Bill 2.0 this month.
There's a lot on the plate for all of Congress, racing to get through appropriations and keep this government funded, that it's going to be a real big challenge for the chairman to find the time and the member capacity to focus on a farm bill in September. I think he and the ranking member really need to come together. Their teams need to come together and their members need to come together to have these conversations. And that is not quite happening yet. And then there's a question as to if they are able to accomplish this and pass a bill out of committee, where does it go from there? Because we do not see action from the Senate to take this up or produce their own bill at this time. There is a lot of concern and mistrust, I think, especially from the Democrats in the House after the cuts that we're seeing in the Big Beautiful Bill. And that is preventing probably a number of members from coming to the table. And if we want to see a bill move forward this month or even by the end of the year, we really need to see an effort by all members to rebuild trust and work together to get this bill done.
Tom, I want to turn to you and trade a little bit. A federal court says that the president didn't have the legal authority to impose a lot of his tariffs. I'm curious, you know, from a perspective looking at this situation, what's at stake for agriculture with what's with the federal courts right now?
Yeah, that'll go to the Supreme Court, and we'll see. Obviously, there are different authorities under which, you know, tariffs can be put on. I like the aggressive posture, but the uncertainty that's created only kind of forces buyers and sellers to sit on their hands for a while. And that's the real problem, to kind of see what may change next week or next month. And I think that's a reality on the ground, is there's just not a lot of product moving. And that creates a real problem. You know, agricultural economics are different. You know, we have one big harvest and it's about to come our way. And if we don't have places to go with that product, man, we're gonna be in real trouble, particularly for row crop farmers. They're already underwater, and that could only, the backup of commodities could only exacerbate that problem.
We'll be back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, Andrew Hunneke looks at the challenging environment for American beekeepers in this week's Map It Out.
Honey producers are dealing with more bee losses on a yearly basis, according to a recent survey by a bee research group, Project Apis M. This map shows the average loss rate for surveyed commercial beehive operations by state from June of 2024 to March of this year. Commercial beekeepers have more than 500 colonies in their operation. Those surveyed lost an average of 62% of their colonies during the survey period, with 12 states reporting losses of more than 70% of their colonies. Altogether, more than 840 beekeepers participated in the survey and reported losing an estimated 1.6 million colonies during the survey period. The survey also found that beekeepers stand to lose an estimated $600 million from lowered honey production, less pollination income, and colony replacement. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Hunneke.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Clean Fuels Alliance America is leading the way toward cleaner air, stronger local economies, and reduced dependence on fossil fuels. The industry uses more than 1 billion pounds of soybean oil every month to produce clean fuels. Biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel, deliver immediate reductions in greenhouse gas emissions in heavy-duty transportation industries. We're growing better, cleaner fuels for today and tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Next week, both the House and Senate will be in session. And there's still time to register for the Kansas City Ag Outlook Forum. You won't want to miss conversations with top government and industry leaders on September 25th. Tune in next week and check our website anytime for the latest developments in all things food, farm, and fuel policy. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.